I know, George, but if you want to just, do you have anything to add or talk about, that'd be great.
Yeah, just two EMTs, one Galena, he's a Catskill resident, and the other paramedic, Citadola, she lives in Haynes Falls, Tannersville area, so not too far away. I had one other applicant who I interviewed on Friday, but has not got his clearance to return to work. He was out of work due to injuries from an accident, non-work related accident. Once he gets that clearance, we can move further. Can't send him for pre-employment physical.
Not if he's capable of working and examined for his other position.
So there may be additional stuff for him to do. For now, I'd like to get going on these three. And then the promotion of Alexis Fava into the AEMT job title and from here to a full-time AEMT position. She's currently a part-time EMT. As the memo says, she's completed her paramedic level training, is credentialed to practice with our agency at the paramedic level by our medical director.
Okay. Sounds good. I can read the memo, or because we don't have a resolution form, I don't believe, because you got it online. But like I said, I think everybody's aware of the situation with EMS and ERs and things like that, so we're actually fortunate to have applicants looking to, you know, come on board, because we do have empty shifts at times and overtime, so it's a very difficult time in the whole industry. So for personally, I feel, you know, thankful that you're able to get some applicants that are interested to be employed with the Catskill. So I mean, I would entertain that. So like George was mentioning, he's recommending that the board that the following applicants be appointed to part-time positions, and these candidates have completed and passed their pre-employment background checks, and their appointment would be contingent on passing additional pre-employment things such as physicals and drug screening. So he mentioned Jessica Polina as an EMT as a part-time.
Jesse, I'm sorry,
and this looks like Tyler Cornell, EMT part-time, and Barbara, you know, with the last name?
Lissignola,
as a paramedic. So let's bundle them all together, and also the appointments would be effective on February 1st, 2023. And George is also recommending that we promote Alexa Fav to the advanced EMT position, her appointment to a vacant full-time position. She successfully completed paramedic level training, has completed the agency credentialing process to practice as a paramedic. Our medical director, Dr. Stangl, has approved Fav to practice in the paramedic level for our agency. So,
I make a motion.
Motion by Jared. Seconded by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. And like I said, that's our second advanced EMT, and the other third spot's open, right? That, you know, still, well, which, right, but that's still
the third spot.
We put that on the side for now. So that fills the two advanced EMT slots that we have available. Okay. Appreciate it, George. Anything else you want to add that you'd like to address the board about as far as any operational things or anything good at the moment?
The new ambulance, we took delivery of it. Right now we're just waiting on radios to be installed. That's the only thing. After a nearly three-week ordeal with DMV, finally got that squared away. Just for future reference, I don't know why it was done before I was here, but ambulances are always registered with ambulance license plates. According to DMV, we were supposed to be paying registration fees on those, which I never have in the 10 years I've been here. So ultimately, the resolution to the whole problem was we're going to transition those over to PSV plates. They were already renewed at no cost for 2023. So as we get further into the year before the renewal comes up again, we transition those over. If we won't have to do renewals ever again.
Nice. Very good. So
that's all I have. Unless you guys have any questions for me.
Anybody? Questions for George? Okay. Thanks for coming in, George. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll just do a couple other resolutions so we can keep it so we want to look at the administrative aid. So what we're looking for is the code office has a full-time administrative aid position open, and whereas the position falls under the civil service certification, and said position has been given civil service with only one name listed, and whereas the code enforcement recommends that we hire or select Savannah Hillcrest, so therefore we, the Pasadena Town Board, hereby appoint Savannah Hillcrest to its administrative aid for the code enforcement office in Pasco.
Motion
by Patrick, seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. That's good. Next one we have. Zoning Board, yeah, there we go. So let me just see Marjorie. Whereas a vacancy occurred in the Zoning Board of Appeals with the resignation of Marjorie Garofalo. Whereas Albert Gasparini is an alternate on the member of the ZBA, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby appoint Albert Gasparini to fill the unexpired term of Marjorie Garofalo, term ending on December 31st, 2024. And Albert's been an alternate for like a year and a half, and he's got some good credentials. He works for the town of Athens, so he knows code and such like that. So I feel he's a good candidate to move up as well. So anybody want to make a motion?
Motion
by Paul.
Seconded
by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Next one we have is whereas the town board passed a resolution 124-2022 budget transfers on December 20th, 2022, and whereas $1,500 from the cemetery EQ line 8810.2 should be transferred to the cemetery equipment reserve account instead of $1,900 in the original resolution. So therefore, we, the Pasco Town Board, approved the amendment of budget transfer of $1,500 to the cemetery reserve account.
Motion
by Patrick.
Second.
Seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. Next one, we didn't post the resolution for him, but I'd like to bring forward that we hired Peter Gallo. What's that?
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. It's contingent on pre-employment screening coming back in a favorable manner, and we want to hire, and it's been recommended by Mark Mazzella, superintendent at the cemetery, and we want to hire Peter as a cemetery maintenance helper at the rate of pay of $17.40. Need a motion?
Motion
by Patrick. Seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Okay, I think we got some of the housekeeping stuff that we make sure we get done. So with that, Allison and Mr. Dippler, I want you to address the board on your proposal on the sewer district.
Great. Thank you very much for letting me come tonight and address the board. I'm working with Catskill Golf Resort. Mr. Vickler is the principal. I'm not sure if members of the board were aware, but Mr. Vickler last year went through a planning board approval process to get a subdivision of his property, the golf course property, over on Six Brooks Lane. The subdivision created two new lots on what was formerly the golf course property. It's actually two quarter-acre lots that are intended for a duplex unit on each lot. One of the lots is on the east side of Brooks Lane, one of the lots is on the west side of Brooks Lane. And as it turns out, the district border for water and sewer runs right down the road. So one of the newly created lots is within the water and sewer district, one of the newly created lots is outside of the sewer district. As part of the project that was presented to the planning board, it was proposed that any duplex units would have connection to municipal water and sewer. The planning board reviewed the application with that understanding, assessed the environmental impacts under SEAKER, ultimately granted the subdivision approval conditioned on Mr. Vickler, Catskill Golf Resort, obtaining an expansion of the water and sewer district to include the new lot on the east side of the road that's not included within the district. So from a connection standpoint, and obviously not an engineer. We probably will be working with Caterstone Engineering, who will provide a simple connection plan. I'm told that it's a very simple connection from an engineering standpoint because the existing sewer main runs through the road, existing water main runs in the road, and there's actually already been a lateral stub created in the sewer main at the time the system was put in place as consideration for Mr. Vippler granting an easement to the town to locate the pump station on this property, which is actually on the east side of the road outside of the district. So it's kind of a quirky thing that the pump station is outside of the district on the same piece of property. But at the time, my understanding is they put in a lateral stub connection so that when Mr. Vippler did want to construct a new unit, there would already be a lateral, a place for the lateral to connect in the sewer main. So I'm here to the board tonight just to kind of talk about next steps and satisfying that condition of the planning board's approval. In addition to expanding the district, there is, you know, always the option of an outside user agreement. I know, I think, you know, speaking with Ted and, you know, my prior appearances before the board, the preference in the past has been an expansion of the district to bring in a new user. And we're certainly open to that. We just have a schedule we need to contend with as far as the extension that we got on our planning board approval to give us time to do the district expansion. So currently, you know, just kind of looking at what we would need if we were going to go the district expansion route, we would petition the town board similar to what we did for the Post Avenue sewer district expansion. And that petition would have the proposed connection plan. It would be much simpler this time because we're only doing a lateral connection to the existing main. There's no extensions needed to serve this property. And I'm hopeful that we can get that to the board before its meeting next month. And if the board was content with the petition and the information that we provided, it could schedule a public hearing for March. And again, assuming that we don't get much public comment, the board's content with the plan, it's been reviewed, and approval by March, which would put us within the timeline we have on our planning board subdivision.
Do we need approval through PUC to do this?
Not for that.
Just residents, no, they're just saying the district, you don't need it.
No, for 2 seconds. Pelosi is required because of the extent of the expansion.
I think you would need DEC. What do you think, Allison?
I talked with Scott Weeman at Counterscale about this, and I think he's actually gotten some recent guidance from Delaware dealing with the connection for Jacob's property. And my understanding is that they don't need to approve this because it's not considered a sewer extension, similar to what was the case in the bottom, and that was because of the amount that they would be discharging to the system. I think that put it within the bounds of a sewer main extension.
Yeah, I don't want to be proposing any unnecessary roadblocks. If you're satisfied with that, it's my understanding, and I have not done a lot of extensions, but my understanding is if this is the current sewer district and we're adding something to it, you're expanding the boundaries of the sewer district and you need DEC approval. If you're satisfied that you don't, I'm not going to propose that we do something as long as you're happy. And if the village, we'll have to check with the village attorney. But okay. Really, I'm going to lean on you, and I'm going to lean on your engineer. And if you're satisfied, that sounds good to me.
And we can, we can flesh that out and get documentation, for the board so that it's comfortable with that. For the step of actually expanding the district, we would only need the approval from the town board for that initial step, and that is the requirement, the condition of our subdivision approval that has to be done by March. If subsequent approvals are needed after the fact, similar to the process that they're going through with the post-downland district expansion, we can always pursue that after the board takes the formal act of expanding the district. Because without the expansion of the district, we wouldn't go to DEC because it wouldn't be.
That's fine because ultimately, if DEC, shuts the thing down because it was done wrong, so I'm going to rely on you for that. But that's fine. That sounds fine to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's maybe it's a 2,500 gallon threshold for a new, for
okay.
What they may consider to be a sewer district or a sewer main extension as opposed to just a lateral connection. But we, you know, obviously we get confirmation that, and I agree, we want to make sure we have all necessary approvals in place.
I agree with the concept it's not a sewer extension. That, you know, that I can go with, but the question would be the geographic extension of the district. Mm-hmm. That would be my question.
There you need to be official with the water district too, also.
We need to expand both. Yeah, so the petition would cover expansion of the water and the sewer district. There is an existing, based on my understanding, stub for a lateral connection to the sewer main.
Nope.
There's not, no.
Not for the water.
Not for the water. Yeah, so the connection plan would include how we would tap into the existing water line there. But it is my understanding Mr. Bittler had talked to the Village Department of Public Works, looked at the existing mains in that road, and they don't need to be upgraded in order to make the lateral connection to this property. So it would be a connection to the existing mains in the road.
And the extension request will only be to the one lot?
That's right, because the other one is already in the district, so...
Right, but the rest of the property on Brooks Lane on the east side is not going to be inclusive in this request.
No, just the newly subdivided quarter acre parcel. So I'm hoping it'll be pretty straightforward. Like I said, my understanding based on my conversation with the engineers, a straightforward connection plan that we will commit to have ready to present to the board in February.
Comments or questions?
Pretty straightforward.
And when's the planning board, when does that expire, the approval?
The extension only got from the planning board, it extends to March 23rd.
All right, so you already asked for it. It's not the original. It's an extension. I was going to possibly suggest an extension, but you have already extended it.
We have already extended it. And, there was kind of some hesitation to move in where we were watching the process play out with the Post Avenue Sewer District extension. I think there had been some representations at some point that there couldn't be any new connections while the village was undergoing its CSO remediation process. My understanding is that has been clarified, at least by Delaware, that the village is still able to make connections to its system. The town is able to make connections to the system. But the issue to be worked out in that case is whether or not DEC can approve the district extension to a combined sewer, which is where the Post Avenue connection is going to. So different situation, but...
It's just that we're doing the geographic area because the infrastructure, for the most part, is existing on Brooks.
Right. And I do think at the time the system was put in, it was contemplated that there may be a future connection, which is why the town agreed to put the lateral stub there for the sewer.
That's debatable. I think if they were looking to, it doesn't matter at this point, but I think if they were looking to develop, I think really probably why it wasn't in the district originally is because it was looked at as a golf course, and I don't think there was future plans at that point in 14 or 15 or whatever that time frame was, that was looked at as more of a golf course and probably wasn't have the anticipation or the planning of ever developing it into a housing area. And I think that's probably why it wasn't included in the district, from the very beginning.
Sure.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate the time.
Ted, do you have any questions for me in the
interim?
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. To add on to you.
Yes.
I want to commend the board because we had discussions about a year ago about the shortage of housing in New York State. It was even brought up by Governor Hochul about the seriousness. And I want to commend the board for adding attached housing to the code, because we had talked about townhouses as possibly a solution to the housing shortage. What happened, and was brought up a while back, that the new code that was followed in New York State talked about three or more attached houses as a definition of a townhouse. And about 6 months ago, I was in front of the board to talk about the fact that I had designed a two-family home. And the two-family home did not fall in what was called the townhouse definition. Here on page two, we talk about the design that I had made of a two-family townhouse and the suggestion that had been made to me, well, call it a duplex house. But later on, I found out that a duplex house had to have one owner. So it was asked by me to find in New York State whether there had been other two-family attached houses. And I did find one in Yorktown Heights. I'm here to ask the board to, if there'd been any progress in updating the code from the definition of a three-unit townhouse to what I need or would like as a two-unit townhouse. I found in Yorktown Heights they had, and that's the design I had made for a two-family townhouse. In Yorktown Heights, they actually had in the code a single-family residential home attached with a zero lot line. I would like to find out if we have made any progress in getting that added to our code so I could move forward with what I call a less risky venture of not putting three units together, but putting two units together, as I designed, and also what I need, what we'd like, is it's the same as a duplex house, except each house has its own tax map. So on that quarter acre parcel, what I would like to see in the code of the town is each home having a tax ID number, and instead of 1/4 acre with a duplex house on it, it's 1/4 acre with two tax map IDs, and we're talking about 1/8 of an acre. If you look at the home, the actual footprint of a townhouse, it's the physical space, and we're talking about a small physical space. They usually give you 5 or 10 feet around the perimeter of the house, but in this particular case, we're talking about a 1/8 parcel, 1/8 of an acre parcel, with a two-family townhouse.
Do you want me to address that?
If you want to address it, go ahead.
Yeah, right now, Mr. Bittler, our definition in the current code is a townhouse is one of a series of two or more houses.
Where is that?
It's currently in the code.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Now,
because I was given this by our code enforcement officer, Matt Carroll.
Well,
because
he's saying that's at the state level. That's what he's saying.
Correct.
It's three or more in the state definition.
Now, don't thank me too much because we're going to be considering revisions, which is going to possibly change that to three to comply with the state.
Right.
But currently, you.
It says two in the town code.
In the town.
And what Matt gave me was the state code.
That's right.
Because
okay. Okay.
In the end,
we should be following the state code.
Roger. Huh?
Well, if you listen to Governor Hochul's State of the State address and the shortage of housing, and she actually formed a committee.
She's talking about affordable housing.
We're looking to build high quality townhouses to be sold to people that can afford a private home.
What's the lot size restriction now?
I was told it's 1/4 acre.
We got a density chart in the code.
Yeah, I mean, you've already been approved for
a duplex.
Yeah, for a.
But I need two tax maps.
Yeah, you've already been approved for that. You've already been approved. I think. I mean, I've been looked at the file recently, but haven't you already been approved for on the south side of Brooks Lane, is there two lots that were created or only one?
There's one on each, east and west.
Right.
Okay, so on the south.
Both for a duplex.
A duplex is owned by one person.
Correct. Well, that's what I was told.
A townhouse is, there's two units and they're each owned by a different person.
Correct.
I think, Mr. Vivek.
Correct.
What ideally what he would like to do, and tell me if I'm wrong, David, is he would like to be able to sell each unit to two different individuals, would need two tax parcels in order to do that. Because these are going to be side by side units.
Right.
So I think, you know, from a financing, you know, perspective, like a bank would look at that as a duplex because it's on one single tax parcel. So it would have to be one owner. Ideally, he would like to be able to sell it to two different owners because, you know, there's no HOA, there's no, it's a simple two-unit.
Was the application for a townhouse with two different owners, or was the application for the ownership of both sides were going to be in one name? I don't remember.
Yeah,
we have to look at the application. I don't want to do it right now, but we'll look at that.
It was ultimately approved as one tax parcel, but I'm not sure. We could go back
and
look at the application.
When I applied, the code for townhouses was not in the town code.
This was adopted. That was last year.
Yeah, I don't know when here.
March of 22.
I was in front of them, I think.
But that was one of the concerns. You know that we didn't have definitions, and you know, it just as we talked about townhouses and we talked about PUDs, you know, we're planning unit developments. That was, you know, that was a suggestion that came across the board too.
I think we're
not at that level for PUDs at the moment, but you know, it's difficult to say. Well, what's that single family attached thing look like? And you know, so it's. It's difficult as a town board without looking. I mean, it might work in that location for one person, but does it really work in that particular zone for everybody else? So we got to look at. You know, I mean, it may be ideal for this situation, it may not be.
Yeah.
But then once this gets going, I mean, you know, what's it going to look like in the whole community and an ongoing? So that's why, you know, we got to be very careful on how we proceed. And even, again, there's a few communities that have them, but they're not an abundance of those. I mean, a lot of them, I think, are bundled in that PUD environment where you really make a community, or a neighborhood. You don't just put one up. You say, we're going to put 15 up, and we're going to make a cul-de-sac, and we're going to put a sidewalk in, and we're going to have green space for the residents. And, so it's really like a, it's more of a planned development overall.
Well, Allison and I, we're not going to figure this out right now, but you and I will look at this and we'll talk in the immediate future.
That'd be great.
Right, because I had designed this as a modular home system with Westchester modular homes, and I brought them an architect's drawing. They designed the whole thing. It cost me $10,000 for the plans to build a two-unit house. I pre-sold one of them from the plan, and the other one was going to be the model. The model was going to be used to sell additional two or three or four, whatever, you know, we decide. If we get enough interest in it, we have room for 18 of them. But I only wanted to build them initially two at a time, and then maybe we could go to three at a time or four at a time.
The 18 are on the north side of Brooks.
West. Brooks Lane is east and west.
West, northwest.
It's on the existing, the
west,
18
west
of
the side. West side.
And there's enough room there because we had approval years ago for a 56-unit hotel in that spot.
Yes.
And when the pandemic hit and that died, I said, well, let's start something small, like two at a time.
Yep.
And it's the same spot as where the hotel is going, past the restaurant.
Allison and I have talked about it. Thank you, Allison.
Yes.
Right. So that you have one lot available. Or you have to hold the ninth fairway.
But if you're planning on expanding, why not make the district bigger now rather than have to come back to us every year and say, well, I'm going to add two more, we've got to expand the district.
It's all,
we're going to do two more, we're going to expand the district.
The other side would be easier if they just...
No, but he's talking about the west side where it's not included.
The west side's included.
Right.
So,
right.
And it would be nice to see, the master plan of what those 18... you know.
Well, I don't, you know, David, you're correct. I mean, I don't think there's really a master plan for that. I think he looked at it based on the minimum acreage. Theoretically, this is how many you could put in. You know, right now the only plan is for the two that are approved. But I know that that was a consideration that we talked about, you know, a while back. Is this
the water needs to be addressed?
That's right. I think he was told that when he got the hotel approval. But I wanted to assure the board that, you know, we aren't looking to do any kind of piecemeal expansion of this district.
Segmentation. And if we get to that point, we've already agreed that we will add that 6-inch water line to an 8-inch water line, because I'm only approved for the two duplexes now on the water line. And don't you
think 18 units are we going to go before we ask for an upgrade on the waters?
This is it.
Yep.
And this, you know, the district expansion would be just for the parcel on the east side of the road.
Right, because the west side is already inclusive.
That's right.
So the west side could have started construction.
Correct.
The reason we're here before the board is because it was a condition of the planning board approval that we get the district expansion, so we need to...
But on the west side, there's no condition because it's already there.
That's right.
So that's an easier path, but...
Yes. I think at that point in time, it would be, you know, just presenting to, you know, the town or the village, whatever plans you need to make the connection as an in-district user.
Right.
To the existing
main. You go to the building department.
Right.
And walk them up.
But here we need that extra step of expanding the district, so the east side.
Right. Okay. All right. We'll talk.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it again.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
So the expense that are going to be incorporated, which are changing over to fiber optic, we were going to take those great upgrades out of ARPA money as well. So I don't know. I thought we might have had something in a motion on that, but if you wanted it, if you want to follow that, we can. I just really wanted on the record that everybody on the board is aware that we're using ARPA funds.
Well, the one was an emergency purchase, so do we need a resolution for an emergency purchase?
Yeah, we should do that on the emergency. It's an emergency. We had to do it. We had water main break. So let's do it.
If you're using ARPA money, I would probably just pass a resolution to have
one. All right. So let's pass a resolution. We had an emergency purchase for a new furnace at the Red Schoolhouse for $3,800. We had a broken water meter there. I think there might have been a little difficulty of locating mains and shutting it off. So that was under emergency. And then the other item we have is the upgrade to the zip line trunking and the fiber optics coming in the building, because we need to, we wanted to upgrade for quite a while, and now we're in a situation where we absolutely need to upgrade. So that, and that from WebJogger is $838.50.
Motion
by Jared.
Second.
Seconded by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. All right. Clean slate, all the stuff in there.
Well, the only reason they would have a red line is if there's existing language that I'm changing.
Right.
Most of this is new.
Right, so it's just 1 through 12 is a new one.
Well, it's 1 through 12, but now they're late, you know, we're all the way up to 42. So, but I added them all together. They're not 42 new ones. Those are...
So you got it all.
Yeah, positive.
Yeah. All right. So with that, I'm going to turn it over with our proposed revisions to our codes, and Town Attorney Ted Dilch is here to go over it. Spent a great deal of time with the Planning Board, Zoning Board, and they're bringing their recommendations to the Town Board for consideration and clarification if need be.
Now, a lot of these we can go through pretty quickly. A certain number are going to require some discussion. A lot of these, most of them actually, are problems that have been identified by me or the Planning Board or this sent to you on December. I'm working from an email that was sent to you on
January 13th.
Yep.
The one right before then, the last one you had before January 13th, was December something, December 18th, I think?
No, that's...
December 14th was the previous one. So they're almost identical, there's just a couple of new ones. So you can, if you could look at either January 13th or December 14th.
Here it is.
January 8th,
December 14th.
Okay.
He's got it.
All right. Okay.
So many of them.
Yeah, the most recent one, which I just sent last Friday, I think, includes all of them. Now, most of these are language problems that have been identified by me or the planning board or Matt, because Matt, you know, Matt sees in real life, you know, applications that come before him. The planning board sees that real life applications that come before them, and we're looking at language, and a lot of times the language is bad, or there's loopholes, or there's questions about what it means. So most of these, we're fixing those. There's a couple that are sort of new ideas that we're going to have to talk about, but most of them I'll try to go through quickly. So I'm just going to go in order now. Site plan review, we're going to add to site plan review. Right now it says, and if anybody wants to look at the language as it exists, I brought the code here. But right now it says, prior to an issuance of a building permit for a commercial building or structure, the building code officer shall require a site plan. I want to expand that to include any new commercial use or expansion of existing commercial use. You could conceivably have an existing expansion of an existing commercial use that doesn't require a special use permit. So, I mean, I'm sorry, it doesn't require a building permit. So if you had, for instance, if somebody was going to put up, they were going to add more parking, let's say, to their parking lot. It's an existing commercial use, but it would fly under the radar because there's no building permit. So I'm just catching commercial use and expansion of commercial use are the classic reasons why you need a site plan. And I just don't want to miss out on something we're missing it because of the language doesn't talk about a new use or an expansion of a new use. All right. You had a used car lot here. I guess that was the village, right? Was that the village or was that the town? You had it then. There was no building permit that was needed. So that I don't know how that came in under site plan, but that person probably could have avoided a site plan. I guess it was a special use permit because he was opening a car lot. But anyway, go ahead.
That we're doing this, should we add this stuff for the marijuana while we're doing this?
It's in here.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's in here. It's towards the end.
Okay.
Number two, identification of names and addresses of all adjoining property owners on minor subdivision maps to include those on the other side of the road or highway. That's typical. Right now, the code doesn't require it. So you have a map that comes in, and you don't have the people identified on the other side of the road. Sometimes, for reasons nobody would ever be able to know or explain, sometimes the code refers to a zoning enforcement officer, sometimes it refers to a building code officer, sometimes it refers to both or either. So I'm going to add, I want it to refer to both at all times. Just so we're not, so there's no question, is the building officer also the code enforcement officer? Let's see here. Okay, so these are all number 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all the same. If there is... special use permit or site plan, and there is a violation of a town code or state building code, they will not be, the applications will not be approved if the violation is in existence, is still in existence, hasn't been corrected. They can apply and not have the violation having been corrected, but they're not going to ever get approval until the violation is corrected. Everybody good so far?
Yeah.
Okay, number 8, minimum lot size. Calculation of minimum lot size does not include any portion of the lot beneath a public or private roadway. There's a lot of people's deeds, probably most deeds, the property goes to the center line of the road. The question comes up all the time. We're calculating the size of the lot. Do you use the land that's under the road?
Especially on these private roads.
Where do you distinguish where the lot, because they're all different, right? So the highway, for the county highway, it's a different setback than the town, and the village is probably different than what.
Right, so it says, I put calculation of minimum lot size, does not include any portion of the lot underneath a road.
So the edge of the road?
So if a car travels on it, it doesn't count. If the grass starts over here, that's where you count. I mean, you could also say...
You could do the right of way, but the roads that we're doing...
Yeah, you don't want to do the right of way.
No, because then you got a 50-foot versus a 24.
Right. And you also don't want to use the shoulder, because what's the width of the shoulder? You know,
my shoulder expanded this year when they came and did the guardrail. Because now it's like, what? Yeah. I've got to re-back. I said, what the heck? And re-back, it's really, it is brown now. It's fine. I like it, and I don't like it.
All right. Number 9 addresses our townhouse law, which I want to talk about here in just a second. And what we're doing is, when you're creating a townhouse, just as we started to talk here a little bit about, you're taking a building which has 3 or more units, 4 or more units, whatever it is, and you're dividing each living space becomes a lot, a tax map lot, and a lot that can be owned by a single person. So you're creating a deviation from setbacks. You're ignoring all the setbacks. So that's what this says. Shared walls and townhouses are exempt from setback requirements. Townhouses otherwise are subject to setback requirements, meaning the side setback
from the exterior walls.
From the exterior walls. So that's
the front sides and back.
So yeah. That's what that does.
Unless they add on to it, then the 220, right?
Yeah, unless they add on to it. Yeah. I mean, you could have a townhouse, it could be a 6-unit townhouse.
Right, but I'm saying is if you did 2 and then all of a sudden you wanted to add a 3rd one,
right?
Is you got to go for a lot adjustment? Mm-hmm. Because
shared common walls and townhouses are exempt from setback requirements.
Right.
All right. Now, the bigger story, I'm up to number 10 now, the bigger question is, which I need your, you're going to have to decide how you want to do this. Right now, we have 2 units can be a townhouse. The state definition is 3 units. I think that you could do 2 units if you want. I mean, that's our town law. That's a state definition. It's not a state law. It's a definition. That's what the state uses for a definition. The recommendation is that we change this from 2 to 3 going forward. If Mr. Vippler wanted to apply for a building permit under the current law before this gets changed, he could do that, and he'd be able to have a two-unit townhouse, and he might be the only person in Catskill history that'll ever have a 2-unit townhouse if we change it to go to 3 to be consistent with the state law. The other question is, do you even want townhouses? And again, this is, we're not talking about a duplex, which is two halves of a house owned by the same person. This is two halves of a house owned by different people. So the bigger question is, do you still want townhouses, and do you want them where people can randomly stick them anywhere, like Mr. Biffler is going to stick them just one. He's going to stick one. There's no other ones. He hasn't. There's no development. There's no, you know, there's no amenities. There's nothing else that goes with it. Is that something that you want, or do you only want townhouses to be permitted in a PUD?
Yeah, but technically all it is a, it's the same as a...
It's like a duplex. It's like a duplex.
Yeah.
So...
If you do a two.
Right, but what's
if
the...
If you do a two.
What's the advantage or disadvantage to having two or three? None.
Yeah. Unless you do it in a...
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. If you went to a PUD, then we can change it to a two unit as well, because then it's really at the discretion of the town board in a PUD. Then you could have a two unit townhouse.
I'm most comfortable staying with the state definition of three or more.
And you can use them, you can stick them anywhere individually?
I mean, we could look at townhouses.
Well, it has to be in certain cities. Obviously, you're not going to put it in. Ideally, you're going to MR.
Well, this, like I said, there is no advantage or disadvantage to having two or having three. Because if you have two, it's the same as a duplex. It's just a different name. So I could put a duplex there, but I can't put a townhouse. It's the same square footage. It's the same design.
Right.
It's just owned by one person instead of two.
Right now, townhouses and condominiums are allowed and two-family dwellings. So two-family dwellings... actually, two-family dwellings are permitted in MR, HR, and general commercial. They're permitted in RA and highway commercial by special use permit. Condominiums and townhouses are permitted by special use permit, RA, MR, HR, C, GC, and HC.
By special use. So that
by special use.
Is right. It because the state, does the state define it at three or more because of the tax purposes? Because the tax on a townhouse is different than a tax on a two-family dwelling or a single-family dwelling.
So definitely different than a condo.
Yeah, the taxes are going to be more. You're going to get more taxes.
Right, because you're going to get two people paying.
You're going to get
two
more houses. I mean, they're right up there.
Is it an entire complex? For a townhouse?
Yeah, no.
But I've only seen two-family townhomes, we'll call them, in a planned area. In other words, I had multiple. That came in throughout my career and Bethlehem. And they don't really have a good definition, but I think they were done through PUDs.
All the ones I saw in the marker ones, the major.
Right. But again, this was a development that was already established, and it was one leg, one cul-de-sac off it. They put in like 32 units. But and then they were going to rent it, but then in the end, it looks like they split them into two different parcels split down the middle. But again, it's by a management company that has an HOA and all that other stuff. So it's done correctly. And they again, it's next to the New York State Thruway. I get it, but there's a lot of green space there. So I think that was all under a PUD or something. Under a plan thing, I think I can almost accept having a two-family in the right situation. A two-family townhouse.
Yeah.
If it's done under a PUD. But again, I think that's a discretion.
Well, Paul's right. The density, from a density standpoint, a townhouse and a two-family house is exactly the same.
And there's duplexes all over the town, guys.
Multi-family dwellings, which is what we're going to talk about next, not next, but soon, is three or more. Three or more. There's height. We have height restrictions, but there's three or more families. They are a special use permit in RA and MR, general commercial and highway commercial. There are permitted use in high density residential. So, if you're going to have more than three, it's sort of density-wise, it's the same thing as a multi-family dwelling.
Right.
So we have multi-family dwellings like what's out there on 385 on the right-hand side here.
That was a, yeah, Eddie Parks put that back.
There's 30, there's 32 units.
It's Meadowlands.
Huh?
Meadowlands.
Meadowlands.
There's 32 units in there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many buildings there are.
Four buildings.
So if we allow those... In,
I think they were built pre-planning and zoning.
Oh, they were in the 70s because Eddie Parks built them.
Have we got anything like that anywhere else?
Like that?
Grandview Garden?
That's in the village.
No, or behind Grace Harbor.
Up on the hill.
Highland. But there's a big difference, though, and Sleek Dog calls it now. What Meadow is, they're looking into hooking up to Village Water and Sewer. Highland Ave's on Water and Sewer. This parcel of Vippler's, he's talking about being on Village Water and Sewer. You know, when you go outside of the domestic water and sewer, what size lot are they going to be required to put these types of units up?
Right. Don't we already address that, though, right in the...
Well, we do, but now if we're going to add an additional, we're going to have to expand.
Well, they got to come up with water and sewer.
Sewer, right.
Otherwise, they're not...
Again, it's no different than a duplex, right? There's a duplex right down the road from you on Porter Road. It's huge.
On my, by me, you mean?
Yeah.
In what?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. On the right on the corner.
Yeah. I mean they're all over the town.
Okay.
And they're not on Village Waters.
And you know, that property, how they bought that, it's almost like a condo, I mean, or like a townhouse, because each owner of the duplex are co-owners.
Yeah.
That they bought it together to be able to make it affordable.
Right. So I'm saying, it doesn't make any sense to change it.
Yeah.
Which, what, the townhouse definition?
Yeah.
Yeah, just leave it.
And you don't want to go to three?
Well, it says two or more.
Two or more, or do you want it to be three or more?
Three or more.
Which would eliminate any future twos.
Right.
Right, but that, and again, it goes back to the duplex thing. It's no different than a duplex.
It is different.
No, it's not.
Because you got two owners with one roof. Who's going to manage how that happens? Right? I mean, because then your HOA, I mean, right? I mean, duplex, you got one owner, the roof goes, the owner has to fix it. Now you got a house that's...
Right, but if you buy this side and I buy this side...
You're responsible for your house.
For the wall, where the common wall is, right? But are you going to walk away from your house if your roof's leaking? No, you're going to fix it, because you just spent $500,000 on a townhouse.
What happens if the neighbor doesn't?
We should probably be consistent with the state. If the state,
I think we should
not
be,
that we have to. Be,
I think we should be.
But
consistent.
We should be consistent
because I mean, these are going to be things that got to be thought out. Because
right.
Like there's common areas that you know what happens with plowing of driveways.
Right.
I mean a lot of it are
right.
down the middle, but
right.
Like I said, the ones that I'm familiar with, they all but they're on a larger scale. Meaning 20, 30, and it's a development, and they got people that are managing it.
Right.
I mean, in the town, you know, in these areas are development, so the town does the main road. But again, there's somebody that's, you know, there's an HOA that's set up for those type of things. I mean, these things could get out of, you know, when you get all these multiple owners, I don't know. I think you can get, I don't know what kind of protection that gives. I mean, I guess you can do buyer beware, but when it doesn't go right, what does it look like in our community? Or that yard. I think we should be consistent with the state myself. That's my opinion on it. And I get to say the footprint I get, but it's, again, one owner makes the decisions. You get all these other owners, they can go.
Especially when
yeah,
but I disagree because if it's your house or my house or his house,
but we all have a bad neighbor.
You're not going to walk away.
You never know.
Foreclosure.
They will walk away from houses every day.
Yeah, but it's not our problem. Because the banks are going to take it, they're going to resell it, and somebody's going to fix it.
But then if they don't, I mean, it's a lot of property maintenance issues in the interim.
So we had a fair share of zombie properties for a while.
So Jared and Dale want three, and Patrick and Paul want two?
Well, we don't have a deciding member here today.
Move on to the next one.
Liz, you want to...
I don't know.
Well, we wanna, I hopefully we get this to a public hearing next month. What, I mean, you wanna just leave it and somebody will get back to me if somebody changes their mind or whatever, we wanna...
Oh, we can do everything besides number 10.
Okay, all right. So, number 11 is about putting townhouses in a PUD. We're not gonna do anything about PUDs now. PUDs take a lot of work, a lot of thought, and maybe we'll work on that, you know, in the coming future. So we're gonna allow the townhouses and condominiums, we just aren't sure how big they're gonna be. Okay, number 12. Change topic. You've already decided this. Residential solar energy systems, which are 20 kilowatts or more, do not need to comply with the performance guarantee requirements. You're not going to require them to have a bond. You've already decided that by resolution. We're just putting that in our code. Okay. This is something, number 13, this comes up, you know, on a fairly regular basis, and we kind of wrestle with this at the planning board. Application for a new subdivision on all private roads, whether or not established prior to 2009, must include a road maintenance agreement that provides for maintenance of the entire length of road that allows for emergency vehicle access, utilizing said road, private road for access to a public road. The road maintenance agreement need not be executed by all landowners as long as it provides for maintenance or access to the into all parcels. So, this was a compromise. The thinking was, if you have a substandard road, and the example that came before the planning board is Wilhelm Road, which is off of High Falls Road, an ambulance and a fire truck can't go on that road. It needed to be widened, which I think they've widened it now. But there were, you know, X number of houses on that road, seven, let's say, and somebody wanted to put two or three more new ones, so you have an existing private road, predates the zoning law, but the building code says that, New York State building code says that you have to have access, emergency vehicle access has to be for all new construction. So the question is, how do you do that? And if the four of you guys are on the old road and you've been on that road for 30 years and I want to build new houses, the whole road has to be upgraded. And the four of you say, well, piss on.
We're not.
Yeah, we're on, yeah.
We're not going to do that because... Why should we do that? We've been living well for 30 years. So if you keep, this is sort of the compromise we came up with. If you have a road maintenance agreement, and if I want it bad enough, I'll have to pay to make the yes. road habitable. If I can get the four of you to sign on, that's great. But if you don't sign on, we can't make you sign on, but I still have to... Now, I have to be responsible. So if I want the new development bad enough, if I can't get the other people to be part of the road maintenance agreement, I have to take the obligation on myself.
On existing parcel, or meaning if you're going to extend...
The new owner, right, yeah. The new building.
New buildings.
Even on existing lots in the subdivision.
Yes.
So you pay, you're responsible for the initial... expenditure to bring the road up to the code. Are you responsible for maintenance?
You're gonna have to be. Those people on Wilhelm Road, they have no maintenance agreement. The houses have been there for 70 years. There's no road maintenance agreement. The thing was like a goat path.
Well, we got
Have you ever been on that road? You can go in on this end, and you can go on this end, but you can't get from here.
Like Paradise Lake is
same thing.
Like the lady by, I was like granted the option to buy from John Heisenberg back in the day. The neighbor said, "Can you get a road, get something going here for me?"
But the only problem with that is you're not going to get people to develop on it.
If I'm in a new home, if I want to do it, you, if
I'm a new owner and I want to build on that road, what kind of insurance company would insure you if you're responsible for the road maintenance of that road from the beginning to the end,
yeah,
end of the house? If you, why would I want to take that responsibility on from a liability issue? Because let's say, for example, the four owners in the front have a problem and they can't get an ambulance there, would they be able to sue the new owner because he has a road maintenance agreement that says he has to make that road available? So why would I even want to build there?
That's what I just said. You're not going to get anybody that's going to develop any of these.
Nobody's going to, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but no sane person.
Far and few between.
I don't even think you could get a mortgage.
Yeah.
But this is a way, this is a possible way to get development. Without this, you won't have any development because the people could actually, the four of you could veto my desire to have a development by keeping a road like a goat path. Because when you built your houses, it didn't need to be accessible by emergency vehicles, but now it has to be. The new construction has to be accessible.
Who owns the private road? So what gives you the right to come on a private road just because you own the property down there and you want to put a development in? If the four of us own that road, what legal right do you have to...
It must be in his deed.
It's already an established subdivision. It's just that nobody, it was never developed. The roads were never put in proper.
But back to Patrick's question, so once I fix the road, am I responsible for this road forever then?
If you agree to be responsible. Yeah.
Right. But could we have him bring the road up to where we want it without having to say you got to maintain it for it? Because I lived on some of these private roads, at one time I was on the last house, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And what happened, I had to knock on doors and say, hey, can we get the plow truck in here? And, you know, I had to orchestrate the whole thing. And I was the guy that had to go out because I was the last one. I got all the gravel and, you know, I filled the pothole slot in there. It wasn't super long. It was only three or four on that one.
What would happen if the planning board said that it's a private road, but from the boundary of the new development, that road would fall under a maintenance agreement?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Not the prior road.
Right. From the last house.
Right.
And whenever I build a new house, First new house.
Built. I got you. Yeah.
The road maintenance agreement would begin there.
Right.
Okay.
And forward.
Right.
And that's the person who would be responsible for that section.
Yeah.
Not responsible for the other section.
Right. So that's what I was going to say, from the last house in.
As long as it provides for maintenance, for access from the new development to the highway, to the public road. Right?
You can't do that.
Yeah, you're just going backwards. You're going backwards from what he's just said.
I am?
Yeah.
So I thought that's what he just said.
Here's your road, right?
There's a house here, and you want to build back here? It would be from this last house back. Nothing forward.
Right. But these people have to be able to get to the public road. That's what the town law says. It says you have to have emergency. If this is you know, the highway, from here to they have to be able to get to this road. Now, before they build, the new development builds, these people have to get to this road. They have to get to that road.
So they have to improve the
building. I wouldn't build.
Yeah.
So they have to improve the four other lots before they get to 6, 7, and 8.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have Brooks Stevens' road, whatever that road is.
Old Quarry Road.
You
know, they have to...
But he improved it from off of Mossy Hill to his areas, I believe.
Yeah, but each time there's somebody further back, they have to be able to get all the way out to Mossy Hill Road.
Right, so if it was a bottom, if it was all narrowed at the front, then it defeats the purpose.
Right.
See, I would agree to one time doing that road.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's everybody's responsibility.
But you can't force somebody to do that.
I know.
Yeah, you can't
I know.
Force somebody to do
yeah.
that.
Right, but we can force them right now, right? We're making the improvements are being made.
Right.
Correct? Because right, if it's not passable, we're not going to give them the back.
Right. And that's what happens, right? I was going to say what happens.
But then who maintains it from there? That's a different issue.
If there's not enough room in between these lots to make the road wider, then what do you do?
It should be one. Right. But they're not always.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Then what do you do?
You don't build.
Right.
That's what they did on Wilhelm Road. They had to read Marilyn in there and took out big, you know, there was like a bottleneck. You came in from this way, High Falls Road, and there was a bottleneck, and then you came in from some road in Saugerties, and you came in this way, but there was a bottleneck, and they had to hire Reed Maurer, I guess, and he cut out the rock, and he, you know. Alright, so how do we fix it?
What does a road improvement district entail?
It's like a taxi district. It'd be like the street district in Palinville, the streetlight district.
Right, they'd have to petition for a road improvement district.
Yeah.
A certain amount of people would have to sign the petition.
Right.
And then it's on your tax bills for the next 30
years.
Right.
They already
tried to do that, remember?
And the town brings up the tax back.
Yeah, but remember, you were petitioned once before, and it would have cost $250,000 at the time.
Where was that?
It was off of Carroll Junction Road. It was the Court Road. It was the Court Road.
That's like 6 miles long.
You don't have to accept it. Right? Town's not required to accept it.
No, that's correct. You don't have to accept it.
Yeah.
You don't have to accept it.
That's correct. I mean, it goes under inventory.
But we're not going to build it.
Right,
because you can get in all these cost overruns. If that were to happen, the people that want it have to build that road
first.
Yep. First, and then we maintain. Then we
correct.
Maintain it.
Well, I thought the one time I was saying is we take the bond, their taxes pay the bond.
We suppose you get a bond over, you can't get it done with a bond.
That's no, it'd be like just like what's his name in Pelham?
Mr. Garrison.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well, it's easier when you start from scratch, though, too, building from
right.
Back from scratch.
Right. Well, that's what good developed. Like the ones I've been unfamiliar with, they developed, they put the sewer in, then they put the binder down while it's being constructed, when everybody's sold, they put the top coat on, and there you go. Yeah. Anyway, that's all the topic.
Yeah. I don't know what the answer to 13 is.
I don't know either. All right. Is there a possibility for an exemption?
What do you mean?
Planning board to authorize an exemption.
Oh.
Well, they don't want to do that because they're afraid to approve a building lot
right.
where there's no access for emergency vehicles.
Right, and then if they can't get through, then Matt's not going to be able to see them.
Right. Down on Wilhelm Road, it was, I think, Saxton Fire. It's in Saxton's. It was in Saxton's Fire District, but they can't get from the road that comes from Saugerties. They couldn't get to the part of the road that came from High Falls Road, and it was in their fire district.
Right. Right. I can see him having to do the improvements for sure. I mean, you get it up to specs.
I'm going to put a question mark there. If we don't figure it out, we'll just take it out. For right now, right?
But it's good to figure
it's
it out.
It's a lot. It's a lot to
yeah.
But these are the problems that the planning board.
This was
up.
A recommendation from the planning board.
Yes. Yes.
Right. I think that the planning board could just say, sorry. If there's no road maintenance agreement, you're just not going to get a permit.
That's what they do now.
And that's what they should do.
But we're trying to do something that's...
So they don't have to debate it.
It's more user-friendly.
The only way you could do it is if it's a caveat in there, is that the homeowners, the original homeowners on that road, agree to the road maintenance agreement. If they don't agree to the road maintenance agreement, you're putting yourself in a liability. So you're putting...
Whereas...
The town board is, or the planning board is putting the town board and the town in a liability situation.
So I would almost change it to whereas the residents, the existing residents on the road must agree to a road maintenance agreement, but will not pay for the initial installation of the road.
Well, yeah. we can't make that.
Yeah, you can't make them. They, if you have pre-existing...
No, but no, if you can't go to the people, especially telling them now that they have to fix that road, so you know ahead of time.
Yeah, we can't tell the applicant that he has to pay for it, and we can't tell the current owners that they have to pay
for it.
I mean, they should be thankful that the developers coming in and fixing up the road.
Yeah, they're all being fixed and everything afterwards.
But some of them get a free ride.
I'm going to put a question mark there.
Well, we're putting this in the code, and lets a person that's going to buy that lot go ahead of time, that they may not want to buy that lot. Pretty much.
We almost have to do something.
Yeah, this is easy.
All right, I'm going to put a question mark there. Number 14 is, and I don't have the zone. I meant to do it. I meant to do it. I don't have the parcel number. I'll have to add the parcel ID.
Is there ever get to be one little sliver in there that wasn't?
It's not. It's highway commercial there? It's highway commercial. Goes for so many feet. How many feet?
What, right, and then that little back section.
And the back section is outside of whatever the...
It's the new part.
It looks like 500 feet. So that the back section was outside of 500 feet.
You're meaning to tell me that it's not 500 feet from there to where that big parking lot is or the DOT building?
The back side.
Right.
The back side.
It's 500 feet, ain't that? It's big and it's not big.
Now, the question is... And I don't know the answer to this. On the other side of the throughway, going towards Leeds, are they going to want any, is the IDA going to want any of that to be rezoned?
Yes, Renee's ready.
Yes.
All right, so we got to find out what
they
is.
Want, what they needed. What they
all right, so you want me to ask Renee what he wants.
Yeah, Renee's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He's had this assaulted?
Yeah. He's still making all the calls.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, Renee or
April.
April will know.
Okay. All right. Okay. Number 15, this is a big one. I'll let Dale explain. But the thinking is, and this is, they do it in some towns. If you have a piece of land that's a subject to, you know, subdivision review or site plan review or variance or whatever, you put a sign up on the lawn. It says 14 days prior to the public hearing so that the people know, neighbors know. I mean, it's not in lieu of mailing, but it's in addition to.
Yeah, but aren't we sending everybody registered mail already?
But a lot of people don't.
Neighbors.
I said that neighbors. Because a lot of people don't know what's going on in their neighborhood.
I'm not a fan of this.
No.
You're not?
No. Who's going to go out and police to put up a 14 days prior to that tank?
If we weren't sending out registered mail to all the neighbors.
Right. It's in the newspaper, it's posted.
Yeah. If you're getting registered, you've got to sign for it.
Yeah. Because they're required to bring those cards to turn them into maps.
Have any fee?
It's just neighbors.
It used to be 300 feet, I think. I think you changed it.
I think it's just neighbors.
It's just like a lot of times in a lot of areas. I mean, I just haven't seen it out there. It's just, even with COVID, when they weren't signing for the cards and the mail person was just dropping them in, when we had the crematory out on by Tool House, a lot of people said, hey, I didn't know they were doing that. You know, so you always hear that complaint from people. It's, I wasn't informed, I didn't know. And
it is 300 feet.
Right.
It is
300. I mean, that's the only thing that does. It takes the people out of there to say, hey, I didn't know there was a public hearing. I didn't know anything was going on. It's just, it's more to me, it's more of a...
You could put a neon sign there and people still say no one's going on.
I think we had, when I was when I was chairman of the planning board, that issue always arose, especially on Carroll Junction Road, when we put that
tiny homes in.
Tiny homes in there. Everybody said, well, we didn't know what was going in, but everybody signed the card. So the issue was, why didn't you put a sign up? I said, why would we want to do that? A lot of people won't read the sign. So the issue is, do you change it from 300 feet to 1,000 feet?
Right.
Therefore, you're pretty much encompassing the whole area, which would mean...
I mean, 300 feet's not a lot of...
No, area. And I agree with you. I would expand it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Rather than...
The gun range, when we did the gun range, it was 300 feet, but only one property...
Bordered it, right.
Bordered to 300 feet, but the people who were complaining about the gunfire...
We're in another town.
Well, they were in another town, but they were also in the town of Catskill, but they were like, you know, 3,000 yards away from the gun range. And they said, well, how come we weren't notified? Well, we weren't required. The guy wasn't required to notify.
So 1,000 feet from where we are right now, how far down Main Street is 1,000 feet?
Probably the red light.
Oh, a long way.
Yeah.
1,000 to long.
1,000 feet is
it's a quarter of a mile.
Three football fields.
Yep.
Quarter of a mile.
More than three football fields.
It's a quarter of a mile.
It's a long.
I mean, you don't need to have 1,000.
1,000. That's a stretch, but I mean, like the my lot. I mean, like my lot, my neighbor's lot between, you know, this from the Carroll Junction Road to the back pen is 300 feet. It's not that. 300 is not a, you know, you only encompass six or seven people. If you're in Jefferson Heights,
like it's the good old boy thing, or you know,
if you're in Jefferson Heights or Palinville,
then it works.
You have 60 letters to send.
Oh, right.
No, no.
Comes cost prohibitive for the applicant.
Yeah. Right, and that's where the signage thing for $20, you buy 10 of them and you throw the thing out there.
Right. So I go put the sign up and my neighbor goes and takes it and throws it away.
That's okay, we put it
away. You put the sign up there every day?
No,
the law says 14 days, it has to be put.
That's a non-solvable problem.
Right, but
at least you post it out. I don't think people rip it out.
I think 500 feet's a good compromise.
Yeah, if you had a sign, and the sign is this big, and it says, notice, public hearing.
No, but then the sign law kicks
in. In big letters.
You just do like the regular, you know, like the regular political campaign sign. You know, it's not a big thing.
You make it in pink or fluorescent. You
put it in red and white. You know, like so like in Brooks Lane, if they're going to do something, the people at the end of the street... They may or may not know something's going, but if you
have... Well, have to know, because they're adjoining property.
The people at the end of Brooks Lane...
Are within 500 feet of the property.
Absolutely not. 500 feet?
The edge of that property? They're within 500 feet of the edge of that property.
Well, he wants to change it to 500 feet instead of 300.
I'm going to tell you, 500 feet, a lot of people won't know.
It's an eighth of a mile.
Country Club Estates, they would know unless they drove down there, but the people on the back end of Brooks Lane... That's way more than 500 feet. That's over 1,000 feet for the
people.
Not
even the property lines, huh?
I'll bring. I got a 300-foot tape in my car. I'll meet you down there, Ron. I'll let you run it. I'll watch. Or I got a laser too.
You want to make it 500 feet? You want to make it? What do you want to make?
750. 500, 750. Here, 1,250.
12 too much.
Yeah, 12 is too much.
500 feet of the property.
All right, 500.
But can they also say all adjoining properties also?
Well, adjoining.
It will.
Because we covered that in the first thing, even across the road.
Yeah.
That was the first change we made.
Or the butters.
Right.
And
oh, butters.
I think it was all parcels within the 500 feet
around the boundary line.
Around the applicant.
Yeah. Around the outside of the boundary.
Of the applicant.
All right. Number 16, flagpole.
Good night, Joe.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay.
Flagpole width shall be 24 feet instead of 20.
What does that mean?
Which is
what's a flag?
Is that a flag lot?
A flag lot.
A flag lot. Land to other lands. In other words, you don't have a lot of property. frontage.
Yeah, and the flag pole is the skinny
part of it.
The flag, it's a flag. Right, you don't have enough road frontage, so you got a flag lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See you.
Take care. Right,
thanks, Johnny. Good night.
Let's talk to you later.
All right, so here's another new concept. We don't have right now a construction yard, storage yard. Any space, whether or not inside or outside a new or existing building, used for the storage or keeping of more than one piece of construction equipment, machinery, vehicles, parts thereof, which are in active use by a constructing contractor. This includes uses. I gotta fix that. This includes uses such as a storage yard for building materials and/or equipment intended for commercial uses. So the thinking is, if you like this, that right now.
I heard construction yard.
Yeah, get a front row seat.
No. The only issue when I was on the planning board is like the one on 385 by the road. The road on the right hand side.
Mark Jaeger's place.
Well, they want to drop out. They're putting. You see a lot of equipment there, scufflers and stuff. Yeah. You know that to me. If that was a construction yard, I would say, you know, I would not make that going forward. I would say any construction yard that's determined to be a construction yard would have to retroactively go back and get a permit. Because I think some people are using that as a dumping ground. And you can see, especially on 385, Farrow, that's his son, right? He has that thing on the right-hand side. That's got all kinds of equipment in there, just like the Athens.
That's Uber.
Well, whoever it is, it's like the one in Athens. Farrell had the one by the generation plant.
Yep,
that's Farrell.
You know, to me,
I thought you were talking over the left hand
side. They're all over the place. And I would not make it retroactive. I would make it retroactively. I would say they have to go back and get a plant, get a permit. I wouldn't say going forward.
Well, you could fit. You gotta give them. You can phase them out.
I would say they could, you know, if you want. Yeah. I mean, they could be for another time. But there's a lot of them around.
There's a lot of them. Yeah. And if they're in a residential area, that's the problem. They're debilitating your house,
right.
Your value of your property.
I don't mind them doing what they're doing, but they're not. I mean,
so what are we asking for?
So
I heard construction.
Contractors' yards are currently.
We'll be back.
But what are we asking them to do? They're an existing.
Well, if they're existing.
They're
grandfathered unless you were going to phase them out.
Yeah, but this says new or existing.
Let me see. Any space. New or existing building.
So used for storage.
Yeah, any space, whether inside or outside a new or existing building, right, used for storage. That's a new use. Let's say they started tomorrow. And they're in it. They're storing stuff in an existing building. That's what that says.
That's not how I'm reading it. It says new or existing building used for storage or keeping of more than one piece of construction equipment.
Right.
New building or existing building.
Right.
That would be if someone bought a condo and started.
They're
already there. They're grandfathered.
He's saying like an existing building was already
there. An existing building. Right. If they start tomorrow, if you pass this law today and they start tomorrow, they can't do this and they can't put it in an existing building. The building that is 100 years old, they can't use that building for starting today, starting tomorrow. They did it yesterday, they can.
Yeah, but doesn't that fall under the site plan review and what they're planning on doing? And
well, what you have is a use that currently is unregulated. It's unregulated. You have I don't know how many of these in the town of Catskill, and maybe that's fine. But you got, you know, there's probably 40 of these places in the town of Catskill. They're unregulated. They're in residential areas. The proposal would be that going forward, you can't be in a zone unless we say it's allowed. If you say it's in allowed, let's say you say it's allowed in industrial and highway commercial, and that's it. And if you're going to have a contractor's yard new going forward, everybody else's grandfather, if you're going to have one going forward, it's got to be either in highway commercial or industrial.
So who's going to do the inventory of all the existing? I mean, I could turn around and say, well, I've been using this lot for 20 years.
Yeah, but that's the question. Now it says inside, let's see, any space, whether inside or outside. A new or existing building. Suppose there's no building and it's just a lot and people are storing stuff.
Right. That's
what inside I mean. Or any space. Where? Any space.
Any space, whether it's inside or out.
Whether inside or outside.
Inside or outside a new or existing building. But so you don't, does that start?
So he means open space.
Does it mean open space too?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I could add that in any space, including open space, or
you know what I mean. Because sometimes it gets a little.
No, you're right.
It's a little. You know, it starts. To,
I know.
It starts to raise a possible question.
I just took this from another town. That's all.
Right, because we got stuff out on 9W that they got, and there's no building out there.
Right. Right. So yeah. I'll fix that up. But that's the concept. Is that something you're interested in? And if it is,
I'm not too keen on.
You know, where would you allow it, and where would you not allow it?
I can just tell you this.
I
work from home, right, and I have a mini excavator and a skid steer. Now you're telling me I can't park it in front of my house.
It says for commercial, does it say that?
It says one piece of equipment.
Used by construction contractors.
Right.
I could be a private contractor and I park my excavator and my skid steer in my driveway. Now I can't do that.
Well, it says more than one. We talked about that. More than one piece of construction. So you get
that. That's right. Easy.
But no contractor only has one piece of equipment.
They'll say that's the dump truck.
You know what I mean?
That's the dump truck.
Right.
Well, pick up something.
Right.
Truck.
Right.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's
no more than six.
I'm not. I'm not for it.
I'm just. It's a issue, and we got. And
I mean, we got a lot of. Stuff.
I mean, it's a current issue, right?
But is there other places in our code that can help us clean some of it up? I mean, if you take a ride around, I mean, some.
No, I agree with 9W, but that's not a construction site. That's a junkyard.
Like,
I mean, you're mixing.
But is there anything in code that we have already, or we can say is that you instead of preventing it, at least make it look orderly and clean, I guess. You know, because I drove around, I don't want to mention the hamlets, but some of the stuff that people have in there, you know.
Do you want to rule it out in residential areas and allow it in, maybe allow it in whatever, RA, high commercial and industrial? And you just keep it out of residential. That's where the concern is.
I understand what the issue with.
Well, the issue is, would you want it if Mr. Vickler says, you know what, I'm going to put a yard down on the first tee box or right in
there. I hear his commercial equipment every day when he's mowing grass.
Suppose he wanted to really get into it.
No difference.
No, but I'm just not
going to be able to pay for dump trucks and all that to go by and have all that.
I grew up next to the train tracks and cement.
My only thing is...
Well, how come we didn't buy that? You bought it in a different area.
There's a little guy that has a couple of pieces that he keeps at his house.
Yeah.
That he can't afford to go run in space somewhere.
You got one mowing guys, you know, it could be a bunch of them. Liberties, you can name a lot. You know, they have a trailer, they have, you know, 4-0 turns.
Right.
They might have a mini backhoe.
Right.
I mean, it really talks about this, you know, really what we're looking at, I think, is the scale of what these things look like.
Right.
And I don't know how you manage it in a
right. Because I think the only thing we're penalizing is the small contractor.
Now, let's see here. I'm just trying to see where it would fit if we didn't do anything.
I mean, I get it. If they're a legitimate contractor, I mean, if you're going to have, you know, five pickup trucks and you're doing vinyl siding, or, you know, right, if you're big, I mean, I don't know if we, I don't know how you determine if it's the, like you say, a small guy that's only have two pieces of equipment versus
right.
somebody that's full-fledged.
And what do you have in this equipment? The trailer, the dump truck, the...
Well, don't we have something, you know, and Elliot always mentioned is that it's not a business at home as long as you don't have employees coming to that location. You know, so if you have five employees showing up on Brooks Lane,
right.
not so good.
Right.
But if it's just you,
right.
and you're going out using your equipment,
right.
that's a
right.
different story.
So
right.
junkyards are a special use in industrial. That's it. They're not allowed anywhere else.
Right.
Equipment rentals or sales are only allowed in highway commercial and industrial. I'm just trying to see where the things even fit right now. See, they're totally unregulated. You know, I guess you can... I mean, basically... They're allowed as a practical matter. They're allowed anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that
basically, this is no commercial work being performed on the property. It's just the place where they're holding stuff to store.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what zone it goes in. It's not like it's the planning board can say they need trees or they need fences or they need.
Well, this is the planning.
Right now,
this is
never, there's no site plan review or anything.
No, but if they create this term, then they go to this planning board. The planning board determines what the site looks like.
Yeah.
So all we have to do is create the term. And then it's up to the planning board to create if you need trees, if you need fencing, if you need what type of lights you can have.
So what zone we believe we it would be allowed?
That doesn't answer to the question that right. I retire and I'm going to buy two pieces of equipment. I'm just going to park it in my driveway. I'm not going to come to the planning board. And
right, that's the problem. That's not going to spread. You're doing it. It's not like you're coming to the planning board.
That's
for
a business.
You're not established. You're
right.
not here. This is a guy that just goes slowly and
right.
it becomes a collector.
Well, there's different tiers. So this would be someone building a construction or storage area.
This is kind of almost a zoning issue where this or the code or map would go down and say, hey, you're in violation, more than going into...
Yeah, but the way we do it now, and maybe this is preferable, but the way we do it now is anybody that wants to do this does it, and it's not against code, there's no site plan review, there's no anything. I mean, that's basically what we do now in the town of Catskill. Now, maybe that's how you want it, but that's... how we do it. So if you want any regulation at all, we could define it, and then you could say maybe it's allowed in every single zone by special permit. Maybe that's a possibility. Right? But at least there's some oversight.
Right, and the person's not going to know that we even have that on the books until somebody calls up and
right.
says, by the way,
right.
John's got all this going on and he's in violation.
Right. Maybe that's a compromise. You allow it in every single zone. You probably don't want it in high density residential. What's that, HR?
Where we got that? You and I, you're
Jefferson Heights.
Jefferson Heights, Palinville, and Leeds, probably, right? Are high residential? Pink. Jefferson Heights. That's it. That's
so
it.
It's like Wild Wing Park and Brooks Lane. Not even, probably not even, not even 23B in Jefferson, I think. What's that? That's moderate residential, I think.
It goes up to,
the car wash.
Jefferson Heights, and then you got some...
Yeah, it goes up to the car wash. That's it. That's the only place in the whole town?
Good example.
No, down below,
no,
to the left. Down to the left.
You got
Palinville. Is that
Palinville isn't.
No, Palinville's not there.
Yeah. So Cementon and Jefferson Heights.
What if we raise it from one or more pieces to say four feet, right? Four
sure.
pieces.
Sure.
And as long as it's your primary residence.
The moderates, the yellow.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's just my thought.
Allow. Three if it's your primary residence. Three are allowed to give to your primary residence.
But Paul, say you had three pieces of equipment, but you
right.
own another acre somewhere, so you have to keep it in your house.
Well, we got a classic example. I mean, she's been in the at the board in the past. Is Mrs. Schlanger down on Maple Avenue?
Lives next door to a trucking company.
And they got a lot of stuff there.
Well, I just said up to three or more if it's your private residence.
Up to three
pieces of equipment on your at your private residence.
Primary residence.
It's allowed.
Yeah.
After that, it's not allowed.
No, and it's regulated because
you can't have everybody coming to this planning board with one, trailer and you have zero trailer.
That's what I mean.
These guys will never get done.
All right. So why don't we say by special use in every zone except HR? How about that? So that takes out Jefferson Heights basically and Brooks Lane.
Yeah, but you got guys there who want it too. I mean, with three, I think we should just, if it's three or more, just let them do it, right?
Well, it depends. So I can keep three bulldozers in my front yard? And they don't have
that's
to leave.
That's why you left the railroad tracks in cement.
And they don't have to leave.
That's why you left cement. That's exactly it. Why did you go to Brooks Lane? Because you broke by the railroad tracks and you didn't care. Now you care.
Cement is HR, though. You can't do it. It's pink. Cement is pink. But what I'm saying is,
we do have some hoarders about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, and they're running equipment.
And that's where the code has to come in, because we got a lot of
quarters. It runs, we just leave it
apart. We got a lot of quarters that we can probably address anyway, to be honest, I think.
All right. So,
any zone by special use.
Okay, good. All zones, special use.
Over a certain amount of it.
Except HR, or are you including HR?
No, all except zones. HR.
All zones, but we're going to
be accepting HR?
We're not allowing it in HR. It's not permitted in HR.
Okay.
I don't know. You agree with that, Paul?
No.
Patrick? But nothing is allowed, so you're saying the guy can't even have like a landscaping?
Well, first of all, if you can't open a business in HR.
It's not a business.
It's not a business. It's just storage.
It's just storage.
Is there a sign?
No.
But it says it's for commercial uses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so you just park in their stuff there. We work somewhere else at your neighbor.
That's a perfect example. He's got his dump truck, right. Your neighbor. And
that's all dump truck right now. Yeah.
What's that?
That would encompass all 32A in Palo
Alto. Higher residency? So all zones.
I think they should all zones. I think it should be allowed up to all in all different.
No, Palinville is in pink.
Palinville is 32A. That section
in Palinville.
So I think if you're maybe we allow two pieces.
I'd say three.
Well, they have a trailer, but a dump truck's not considered a piece of commercial equipment.
Sure, it is.
Yes, sure it is. Some people drive them there.
They got to have a DOT-free.
Yeah, that's why I said one or more isn't realistic. No. Honestly,
the truck is one.
It should be four.
It should be three. Let's go three.
Three is a three.
Up to three
is permitted. If it's your
primary residence.
Yeah, up to three. I think that's at least a start.
Right? Okay. At your primary residence.
Because then they could have a dump truck, which you got to pull the trailer, which is two, and then you got something in it.
Other than that, all zones by special permit.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Beautiful. Now, 18 and 19 talks about protection of floodways and plains. I'm going to suggest that we don't do anything about that because we have a part of our code that's already in place. And I want to talk to Matt, and we got to see how we're implementing that. Because if you're in a zone, if you're in a flood zone, you're supposed to be applying for a permit. If you're building, if you're adding fill, I don't know if that's currently happening. So I want to investigate.
Right. I think Matt's aware of that situation.
So we're going to work on
permit.
That.
Right.
Exactly. We're going to work on that. So, 18
so you want
to
scratch it?
Yeah, 18 and 19 we're going to scratch for now, and we'll revisit that. Number 20 is a typo we're fixing. Okay, 21 and 22 and 23 have to do with logging. Right now we have no definition for forestry. Forestry is included under agriculture. So agriculture is allowed,
I think just about
probably everywhere, right? Agriculture. It's a permitted use in every zone of agriculture. So what we're trying to do is, first of all, we're going to define forestry, and these are basically Webster's dictionary definitions. Forestry is basically milling, commercial milling, processing, and sale of trees and wood by special use in industrial zones.
When you say wood, do you mean firewood? Do you mean boards? Do you mean
trees and wood? So
commercial
milling, processing, and sale. So if you're commercially splitting and selling firewood at your place, that would fall under this. If you want to carve that out, you can carve that out. But this is a dictionary definition of forestry: commercial milling, processing, and sale of trees and wood. It should also say wood products. Logging is the cutting and removal of trees from your land. I gotta fix this definition. It'll say on site, so something like that. On site, cutting and removal of on site trees and wood. On site trees and wood permitted in all zones. So a logger comes to your house or your woods, and you log it, and he takes the logs away. That's permitted. Anybody can do that. What he can't do, the logger, is cut down your trees and set up a mill there and commercially mill your trees that he logged on your property. So logging...
Why not? If it's a one-time thing, if he's logging your lot
to cut the wood
for your personal use.
One time.
Except for commercial sale.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, if you're going to build a log cabin, I get that.
Yeah.
I did that at my house. I had to put, Speedy was alive, I cut down a bunch of pine trees.
That's different, though. You're getting a billet to cut your own wood.
Right. And then he took it out of there and it was done. It wasn't commercial.
That's not,
now,
he's
not
talking
commercial.
About
commercial.
Cutting it there and then selling.
Right.
But it doesn't say that.
Right. So we could.
Because I mean, forestry is the forestry of logging, that's encouraged because people that have open land, that which is good, that's for people that want to cut down their timber and it helps them pay their taxes. That's good, I think. The forestry end of it is good, but the milling and then logging, logging is really, I get what you're saying.
Allow milling for logs from that site is permitted, right?
Yes.
Right, and even, like I said, a lot of that I read, it's really, like if a Christmas tree, if you're buying it, if you're growing it on your own property and selling a Christmas tree, that's a different thing.
Well, it's a farm.
No, I'm just saying, if you have somebody come in and log your property and bring a mill in to cut up, so you can build a mill.
And that's a rare.
But you don't want to,
you don't want to exclude that.
Yeah.
Not the commercial sale.
Right. You can bill it if it's going to be used on that
premises
for building on that premise or something.
Or used by that property.
Well, not used because you don't want to. It can't be commercial use. That's really what it comes down to. So if you're going to bill it, you can't be commercial.
Right.
So if you're going to build a log cabin there, which is a rarity again,
a lot of guys really like to build a pole barn or something. Miller wanted to build a pole barn or
site use. So. The milling has to be of logs harvested on site for use on site.
Correct.
Okay. And growth, harvesting, and sale of Christmas trees counts as agriculture.
Correct. That's right. That's good, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're good with that?
Can I have a question?
Yes.
What about... it says removing forestry from the definition of agriculture?
Yes.
So what about a farm that sells and splits their wood to sell.
That's what I
would fall under agriculture. The farm is agriculture. So should there be an exemption?
I would
for farms
exclude firewood from any of these.
Okay.
That's what I was getting at before when I brought it up.
So growth, harvesting, and sale of Christmas trees or firewood is permitted in all zones.
Correct.
And selling of firewood?
Yeah.
You jumped your spell, there's a little rack of firewood out there for sale for $4.
Yeah, for camp wood. Mm-hmm. But they're not. They're probably producing it there.
Right. On site. Firewood. You can't bring it from A to B, processing on site.
In other words, you shouldn't be able to bring in a whole truckload of log length stuff and then sew it up in your backyard. On Brooks Lane, next to the railroad tracks, a guy's going to come in with a 10-wheeler and he's going to drop it in.
And
a whole weekend long, we're going to sew that wood and split it at your spot.
Yes.
You can't do that.
Well, it's no different than the neighbor of the street.
And chainsaw.
For
your own personal use.
Yes.
But I'm saying
not for reason.
No, if you want to
your own home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But if the guy wants to sell the camp with, you can't do that.
On-site growth, harvest, and sale of firewood is permitted.
Right. Okay.
Let's see.
I gotta stop at the Brooks Lane. Everybody's gonna get excited.
There's a lot going on at Brooks Lane. We're putting a lot of things down here. Forestry, mills.
Is this on? Have you put that tape?
Yeah, we're still down.
And this goes on the radio?
Yes.
It's live streamed.
That was a good idea. Okay. 24. So, let's see here. This was a problem with subdivisions, and if anybody's interested, they could go and they could look at what the language is. But it has to do with timing. And what they wanted to do was, or what the code currently says, is you have to make your CECRA decision within 20 days of the receipt of the major subdivision application, which is crazy. I don't know where that came from, how that language got in there, but now we have three major subdivisions, three or four. So we got to get this changed. So that's what that does. This is removing the time frame that obligates the. You know, what we're doing now is we're getting consent from the applicant to waive.
So they're waiving that.
They're waiving that because it's a ridiculous requirement, but we're fixing that. So that's 24 and 25. 26, I want a copy of the deed for any application. Right now, that's not required. I try to get people to give it to me because there's all kinds of good stuff in deeds, but... not to mention that it tells you who the owner of the property is, so we should really have a copy of the deed should be a part of all applications that go in front of the planning board. Number 27, flaglots shall not be further subdivided. It's a practice that we have, but it's not in the code anywhere. And the reason they can't be further subdivided is because their flag lot doesn't have enough frontage on a highway. So,
what is 27?
27 is the
flag. This new chapter for battery storage.
No, I moved that around.
Are you on the old one still? Or the 13th?
Yeah, you might be
on December. You might be the 13th? December.
Yeah. That's right. If there's something, I mean, I'll explain each one. Well, I just moved them around. We'll get to that. If we are approving number 28, this is in red, so this is a brand new one that we did last week.
That's a new one.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I can't.
You got a new, the new ones are January 13th should be.
That's what I was on.
You were right. It's not in red.
It's not.
No, it's not in red.
No, on the new one, it's not in red.
See, I don't have a January 13th.
Oh.
Friday the 13th, we got it.
I didn't get it.
Hold on, Paul. I'll send it to you.
I got it. I found it.
Okay.
All right. So if there's no water, can I leave it?
28. 28, okay. Every once in a while, for some reason, we approve a subdivision that that's not a building, that's not a buildable lot. And the code really, it implies that lots that are being created are buildable, but it doesn't say that anywhere. Buildable meaning, the definition of buildable is you have access to water and you have access to sewer. So you have to demonstrate a perk test or whatever, and you gotta have water and sewer. If for some reason we're approving as a lot that's not a buildable lot, and the applicant understands it's not a buildable lot, we put that on the map. No maps shall be constructed. No building shall be constructed on this lot. It happens. It doesn't happen often. But
what about pre-existing building lots, though?
That pre-existing building lots are they have to be they got to conform with setback.
Right.
You know. So I mean that this doesn't apply to pre-existing.
Okay.
Number 29 is just it says should, and it should say sat shall, so we change that. Okay, kennel. So a kennel is a business that houses one or more dogs for pay or remuneration, including the keeping of dogs at a veterinarian office or animal hospital. Right now...
Well, in 2010, that law changed. Kennels were included in the updated law in 2010 when Ag and Market decided that SPCA's licensings for dogs, they changed the law in 2010.
In our code?
All codes. So the town of Catskill at that time removed kennels from the town code.
And what is this? What's the state law?
What is the state law allowed it up to the municipalities to decide.
So they allowed for us to decide? All right.
So you have...
We already have it in the
day. Yeah, we have veterinarian offices. It's under V if you're looking for it. It's not under kennels, but it says... Veterinarian offices, animal hospitals, or kennels. So they are permitted in RA, and they're by special use in general commercial, highway commercial, and conservation, which is kind of strange. And they're a permitted use in an industrial zone. So we have a definition for kennels. Kennels can be noisy, obviously. In the table of uses, kennels will be singled out as a use permitted in RA subject to site plan review with a 500-foot setback from nearest residence. So, that I mean, there's nothing magical about that number. That was just the number that I put in there. If you like the idea, you think 500 is good, you want it to be higher, you want it to be lower, let me know. But there's somebody, if you have a kennel and there's 30 dogs next to your house, it should at least be some kind of review. It should be a special use permit, and it should be some setback from neighbors.
I think you should exclude animal hospitals.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Okay.
It's like a, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You can't keep more than two.
We had something somewhere about cats.
Cats are a free-roaming creature, according to New York State. You can't regulate them.
They're, yep, absolutely.
So, a business that houses one or more dogs for pay or remuneration, period.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Because vet and animal hospital, I guess, you it'd be nice to have for them, you know, even in MR or highway commercial or.
Kennels used to have, were required to have a license.
You want it to be reviewed in RA, animal hospital?
Let's let the animal hospital go RA review. Because I think they would do the right, would do the right thing. If we had a veterinarian that wanted to go in RA in the right location, I think it's a good idea.
Especially I agree with Liz, though, that kennels should have a operating license from the town.
Well, they used to, but then in 2010 it changed.
Oh, so they came back to the markets and they take care of it?
Right.
When are you going to take care of the stray cats?
Stray cats are free roaming animals.
Okay, the moment you've all been waiting for, cannabis dispensary, a business that sells cannabis or cannabis. So these are, I think I got these from the state, I guess. Cannabis lounge. All right, cannabis dispensaries and cannabis lounges shall be allowed subject to site plan approval in highway commercial and industrial zones with a 1,000-foot setback. I got this from a couple of towns. 1,000-foot setback from residences, churches, schools, public buildings, public parks, playgrounds, sporting fields, and courts, or other cannabis business. Hours of regulation may be set by resolution of town board. Now, so I took a...
What is the cannabis board's regulations going
to
be?
Well, that's the thing. They just came out, and I have to make sure we can't do anything that's in violation.
Right.
I think this is going to end up being 500 feet.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to... I took a continuing ed.
I'm not worried about the dispensary.
Yeah.
It's the cannabis lounge that...
Yeah. So... even 1,000, I mean, on a dispensary.
We got to be a little careful because that 1,000 is a lot. I mean, just as if it were to happen on.
I'm saying we got to see what this cannabis board.
Yeah, I think the cannabis. Their regulations just came out. I think it's going to be.
Did they finally release something?
Is it what?
Did they finally release something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, about 1,000 feet. Yeah. I'm saying that even if we stayed 1,000, if you get on like the bridge approach as an example, there's residents. A little bit behind there, and then you get that with that, and there's so much commercial there that wouldn't be allowed because you're going to touch, with the wood mode, up that house up in the back there.
That's what I'm saying. We got to wait.
You want to see? Well,
I would say lower.
I think you have to put dispensaries and lounges in separate categories. First,
correct.
Right. I
mean, if you go to Massachusetts, the dispensaries are right next door to Marshall's.
That's what I said. I'm not too concerned about the dispensary because they're not smoking it on premises.
Right. I mean, with the churches, I'm in favor.
It's probably going to fall right in,
but not the residents so much.
It'll probably follow the same regulations as bars. It's going to probably fall in the same distance.
That's exactly what they're talking about.
It's 500 feet.
Because that's what they're relying heavily on.
Why don't we put? You want me to put 500 feet
for the dispensary?
All right.
So when they say the definition of a church, does it have to be a functioning church or a church building?
Operating church.
Over here on Water Street's a good example. That church. On Water Street, they couldn't get their liquor license.
Avalon can't get their liquor license. Correct.
That's not a functioning church.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it so?
Yeah.
Is it on Water Street?
Yeah.
Mount Tabor? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think that
I
was...
just went to the guy, Victor, I went to his service there last year.
Never noticed anybody ever.
All right, you want to treat dispensary and lounges separate. How do you want to... You tell me. How do you want to... So let's do dispensaries. What do you want to do with dispensaries? They're more common.
Yeah. That'd be more general.
How many feet would they be, would you say?
I would say the same as the 500 feet from...
I think 500 feet for dispensaries.
I'm not worried about...
Lounges. Because we're restricting it for highway, commercial, already in industrial. So, I don't want to take that away, the potential...
Right.
From say the bridge approach or any place else that might have a residence, because we could have a residence that's been there, that's already in highway commercial.
Highway commercial is we got a lot of highway commercial. I mean,
highway commercial is all 32.
The dispensary
32, 23A.
It's just
9W.
The distance between churches and schools.
Sorry. For dispensary?
Yeah.
You want that to be how much, how many feet?
I would 500 feet, because that's what, I'm pretty sure that's what the
liquor for.
I'm okay with that.
500 feet from churches and schools, and that's it?
Because we restrict them being in zones, that's the difference. So they're not going to be up.
Right. So lounges we're restricting from all these things, and dispensaries just from churches and schools.
I don't even know. If
well, we haven't got the lounge.
I don't even
know
if
that's going to be here. I need to get a little more on the lounges.
So it's not even going to happen.
I got 500 feet for dispensaries from churches and schools. What do you want for lounges?
Well, you got all the other stuff, public buildings.
That's for lounges, not dispensaries.
I mean, we don't, you know, dispensaries too. I mean, we don't want an extra.
The state's going to put the lounges in the same category as bars.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we.
I'm just worried about schools and the churches for the dispensary.
Even for playgrounds. I think I mean, the other stuff, sports field, I mean, I don't think that's happening in our town, by the way we got restricted, but it wouldn't hurt.
Sports fields and courts are playgrounds.
Yeah,
exactly. I think we should, for kids stuff, the 500, we're not even going to have them here.
Yeah. What about residences? Would you want to restrict it from residences?
No,
because we
don't. Not the dispensary.
Not the dispensary.
But the lounges.
Yeah.
From residences also.
Okay. I would say that lounge is only in industrial use.
Well, no, lounge should be able to go anywhere in marketing.
No, I disagree.
How?
The state is going to tell you that you got to treat them just like
a bar.
I mean, the thing is, it's very close, and I agree on how they're viewing it. I have to agree with it on a personal level, but like I think the dispensaries are more like a beverage center or a liquor store, and the lounges is going to be more like a bar.
Right.
That's the way it's going to be.
Bars right now, bars are by special use permit in RA, and their site plan review in GC and HC. So you may be stuck with that if that's how you do bars. You might be stuck with that for lounges. And then we also add 500 feet from residences and
I would say
lounges, right?
I would say 1,000.
For lounges?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
1,000, that's a long piece of, that's a big that's piece a, of real estate.
That's from here to the red light.
You wouldn't be able to put any lounges in Leeds, then, if you were going to do that.
Yeah.
Even 500, even, I mean, 500.
500 is going to be hard.
500 in residences are tough. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You could, you know,
for a lounge.
And you wouldn't be able to do any in Palinville either.
No. What's the bar say?
Bars are special use in RA, mm-hmm. and site plan review in GC and HC. General commercial. That's your downtown.
That's Leeds.
And
so they're special use in Leeds, general commercial, highway commercial.
Right.
And RA is by special use permit?
Yep.
Okay. And there's no footage that there's no footage in there.
Right.
No, because that's regulated under the SLA.
Which they have what's SLA? What's their specs on it?
Same with authorities.
500 feet.
500 feet. So a new bar has to be 500 feet from a residence.
No, from a school and church.
School and church. Residents are good.
And
there's got to be some distance between residents, because if I'm living next door to it, I don't want to be selling it.
Well, that goes back to my question I've been asking: are they going to allow an apartment above a lounge? Did they come out and say no?
Well, the original blueprint was.
We should have some space for sure.
Yeah.
There's
got to be.
If it doesn't conform to what
well,
we say,
also,
we have to change it.
You don't know what they're requiring on the exhaust of the building.
Right, where's that exhaust going to go, right?
The exhaust is filtered and everything.
You don't expel JJ Smokehouse.
That's a difference.
Because they run their thing through their filter.
Yeah, they don't, they trap it.
Yeah.
But it's
and your
guys
on me, you don't get Burger King, you don't smell the burgers cooking on that grill?
Totally.
That's bullshit. Exactly. It's the same thing you're
going to
smell
coming out of
that thing from a dispensary.
Let's put some footage in there.
I'll send you what the state came up with. I should have done that.
right.
So that's all I smelled when I was walking to the mall before Christmas.
So I'm going to make some changes.
What, smoke or not smoke? It's just like if they filter alcohol through the...
It's kind of the same law.
Still the top, it doesn't take
so
the alcohol.
So the smoking part has to fall under the same cigarette.
If you put the alcohol...
Not with the 25 feet of the smoke going.
It doesn't still get intoxicated. It, you know, yeah. It makes the drink cleaner.
Yeah.
But the alcohol is still... Just if it doesn't smoke, the THC could be in the vapor.
Right.
I mean, I, you know.
Okay, we're almost done.
We're not baked yet, Ted.
SDRs.
We don't have it in the zone yet. It's permitted in all zones, but if we didn't put it in
I think we should, there's legislation in Albany. I think we should wait and see what the legislation is before we make any changes to ours.
Well, this is
like
this is just for allowing.
It says it in our current code. It says it's permitted in all zones. It just doesn't say it in the zoning. We have a short-term rental law, so we're just making our zoning code consistent with our short-term rental law.
Yeah.
Number 36, enforcement to town board from time to time by resolution establish fees for activities that are regulated by the state building code and town and Casco code. We don't have anything that says we can establish fees, so that's what we're doing. All unpaid fees shall be re-levied on the new town bill against the subject parcel.
Can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to see.
You're going to have to get the county to pass a resolution or something. To...
We'll have to see what the state says about that. Yeah. Okay. Multi-family dwelling... that's the problem. So we have multifamily dwellings in our table of uses. We didn't have a definition, so that's a common definition. So if you have single family houses, you have two family houses, you have multi-dwelling. Now, the kicker here is that right now 169C allows an unlimited number of multiple dwellings. So if you want to put multiple dwellings in your lot, on your lot, if our code doesn't say
no restrictions.
So you know, we should. I mean, it's limited to setbacks and everything. But if you had 60 acres, you know, you could put whatever you could put.
Yeah, we're now limiting apartment complexes.
Well, that's what you tell me what you want. I just put two because I just came up with a number. I mean, how many do you want to limit it to?
We have. And this is a legitimate compared to what he was talking about. We have a legitimate housing problem in Greene County. Now we're limited to, you can only put two units.
Well, you can put whatever number you want.
I mean,
the reason this came up is that the people up there next to, on the way up the hill, Jefferson Heights, going up on the left-hand side,
right.
the people came in, they wanted to put four...
You mean on the corner of Snake Road?
Well, they wanted to put multi. They only wanted to put single. See, Matt, because then it was, you know, I think his concern was it's almost like it wasn't a motel. They wanted to put, or still made, say, four small little units up there. And it wasn't a motel because they weren't, they didn't really want to go that route or didn't attach it. So they wanted to put five small, tiny homes on that piece of part. So, and that's not even multi-family dwelling.
It was really single family.
Right,
it's multiple dwellings on one piece of property.
It's multiple dwellings on one piece of property.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not. It wasn't a multi-family dwelling. It said it was each dwelling was going to be.
Well, they came here and they.
You know, I don't know what
they. They addressed the planning board and they had their. They changed.
Right.
They wanted to put four. They found this loophole, and they wanted to put four multifamily dwellings on that parcel that's fallen down into the creek there.
As long as you have enough property,
should we address this more with density?
You know what I mean? Not just limited to
I don't see how that would have been permissible, to be honest. I really don't see
if
it.
If they messed that back and everything?
What, not there?
Right now, we allow a maximum of two single-family dwellings on a parcel.
Right.
So, if
you what size parcel?
So, any size parcel.
Well, unless you get it to the
buyer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's
so,
what should happen, really.
Right. But I'm talking about like an apartment complex. Now we're
right.
Like,
right. The ones
now you're saying you don't want any apartment complexes in the town of Catskill.
Okay.
But. I mean, I think, does that come back to an accessory building? You know what I mean? Like, how many accessory buildings are we going to allow if it's going to be a cottage for an Airbnb? I thought it might have been, is it possible that it was related to something like that?
No, this is multi-family dwelling. Oh,
right, I know. But yeah. say somebody has a house and they have one outbuilding right now, and that's an accessory.
Those are two dwellings.
And that's where we end up.
Yeah,
and so you know, see, because in other words, if you got 2 acres of land and you want the Airbnb, so you've got your main house, you got a cottage out here, and then all of a sudden things are going good. How many more cottages do you want to put on that acre?
No, I understand, but that's not what we're talking about here.
But I'm concerned.
We're talking about multi-family dwellings,
right? And I don't know if, say, that in the Jefferson Heights thing, is that really a? I don't see that as a multi-family house, right?
I would say the main structure is
because that's a two-family.
Right. What zone is that?
But see where it says this does not. That's general commercial. See where it says this does not include condominiums or townhouses. We could just say it apartment buildings. To say it does not
that's
include apartment buildings.
That's going up the hill, Ted.
His point is a guy building a bunch of 3-story houses.
Yeah, that's some like special use.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would put that this does not include condominiums, townhouses, or apartment complexes.
Multi-unit apartment complexes.
Right. You see on the top of the 37 we have multi-family dwelling, and this does not apply to condominiums or townhouses?
Yeah.
I would add multi-unit apartment complexes.
Let's
and then you're fine because multi-unit apartment complexes fall out of this.
Building with three or more.
Yeah, but that is, if you have a multi-family apartment, that's what this is. That's your definition of a multiple family dwelling.
Right.
An apartment house is a
multi-family.
I'm saying we exclude complexes.
See where you have it. And the definition, this does not include condominiums or townhouses,
right?
And then multi-unit apartment complex.
What does that fix?
I don't know.
That allows someone that with a 60 acres to build an apartment complex and not have to.
Chance of somebody building an apartment complex without having water and sewage problems.
Well, there's that 25 acres behind Christ Drive on the town side.
So.
Where they were talking about
right,
that.
But what we're trying to curb is somebody that's puts a bunch of these little homes out there.
Those are single family dwellings.
Yeah, those are single family dwellings. You can't do it. You can only have.
And you're saying this guy wanted to put
four multi-family.
I wasn't imagining. So he wanted to put.
They
changed their mind, and they wanted to put a couple of multi-family.
Because they saw this, and they figured, oh, we'll put
four multi-families in there.
Right.
And they wouldn't have made, but they probably wouldn't have met the density. But they possibly could because they might own a lot of land over. See, they only have a little top on the top, but that land goes all the way to the creek.
It's not a buildable lot down to the creek, though.
But if you did density for the whole thing, if they met the setbacks, they got a lot of land.
That's what they were planning.
Yeah, I'm working like with Paul saying that, okay, somebody's got 25 acres and want to build a workforce housing or elderly housing complex.
Which you want to put
an acreage that you're only going to restrict it to 2 units unless you have more than 10 acres or whatever, some number.
And the only places that you're going to build those are where you have water and sewer.
Right. Right.
Well, not necessarily.
Unless you have enough room to build your own.
What about 23 going towards Canada?
You want to limit it that way to acreage?
Only
two per parcel unless you have more than 10 acres.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
That's true.
Or you have...
Because in the end, if the idea, they may have some plans eventually to do workforce housing.
Right.
And then,
I don't want to box people from building an apartment complex or something like that either, because
I think we got to work on it. So a situation like we had,
right.
we want to protect. We want to have smart growth.
All right. I'll put a question mark there.
I mean, if we can word that a little differently, and maybe we should say, you know,
excludes multi-unit complexes or excludes.
Right, because when you put multi-family dwellings, I associate that with me, my wife, my daughter, my son, my granddaughter, my mother, my father.
Those are three or more self-sustaining
units.
Family, you know, residential units. Bathroom, kitchen, bedrooms, and then over here, kitchen, bedroom.
Or we make it a multi-commercial dwelling for, like, apartments or something, just to, so we're not excluding that from this.
Well, they would have been commercial.
But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And do we have a limit on how big a multifamily house could be? I mean, you know what I mean?
So yeah, height.
Height, but I mean, you know, how many should we have in a block before we say you've got to start another block? You know, do you want,
right.
I mean, we have, in other words, I don't know if it would happen, but would we want a 10 unit to go, or do we want to say, you know, or maybe a 20? I mean, I don't know what people would want to build today, but.
That's the kind of thing that would be in a PUD. You would be regulating that in a PUD.
Because, I mean, it would be nice to attract some of this type of housing to our community.
Well, maybe we want more.
Right, by adding this, you're excluding that. You're not.
Well, right now, if there's you could put as many on there as long as you meet setbacks.
Right.
So right now we have a very user friendly ordinance.
Right. So maybe we should, but the density, you know, because I said you could have all this unusable land. It could be a swamp, and they're going to say, you know, it could be a swamp or a pond, and they're just going to use this little, you know.
Well, but then that was the plan. They have to be able to prove that their septic and water generally will be sufficient.
But they got it, and they also have to meet setback.
Right.
They got to meet setback. They always have to meet setback.
You got to do something there, though. I mean, I don't know how.
Or make it permittable in RA and by special use in MR and HR.
Right now, that's a good idea, to limit it by zone. Right now, it's a special use in RA, MR, general commercial, and highway commercial. It's a permitted use in high residential. So,
High residential because you have...
you can't go out.
Not only that, you have water and sewer.
Yeah.
So the density is different when you get into those areas.
Right.
Then you're not making setbacks in any of those areas, the multiple ones.
I'll put a question mark there.
Yeah.
All right. Number 38, we have a list of things in chapter 39, what a planning board does. We don't have a planning board, according to our current regs, a planning board doesn't review special use permit or site plan application. So we gotta fix that. Here's 169B. This is the actual language, if you want to read this. Mm-hmm. In all districts that allow one family and two family residential dwellings, not more than two single family or two family dwellings may be placed on a lot, provided each dwelling is located so it would conform to area and bulk regulations in the lot district in which it's located. If a separate lot were created for each, which means if anybody wanted to subdivide down the road, you have to configure your buildings so that setbacks,
right? And you can put a road in.
The middle of sentence there is unclear. It looks like if you have two buildings on one lot, you've got to go to the planning board, which, you know, I talked to Teresa about it. I don't think that's the intent. So we're going to take that out. So in other words, if you want to put a second house on your lot, you just go and you get a building permit as long as you meet all the setbacks and all the other things. Where two single or two family dwellings are allowed on one lot, said lot may not be subdivided unless there is separate water and sewer for each dwelling. So I think we're covered there. Okay, last but not least, we're down to two. These are two brand new laws that don't exist yet. One is for battery storage facilities. This is, there's basically, there's two tiers of battery storage. There's a residential tier, which...
we included Brooks Lane on that?
Yeah. Yep. So they're available in all zones, right? Battery storage major?
Battery storage, the first tier... The first tier is for a house. So in other words, if you have solar panels and you are storing your own electricity, you don't need to come to, you don't need to get any permission to that. So it's only if it's a major
commercial facility.
Commercial facility.
What number is the residential thing? Is that 4 or is it all incorporated under 40?
Let's see here.
41 is tier 2 battery storage facility, which would be used in industrial zones.
Yeah, tier. Tier 1. I'm looking for definitions. Tier 1, if you look at battery energy storage system, Tier 1 is an aggregate under the definitions. It's the second page. Battery energy storage system. And then it has a definition for Tier 1 and Tier 2. And Tier 1 is battery energy storage system has an aggregate capacity less than or equal to 600 kilowatts. So that's a, you know, we have our engineer look at this, so that's a, you know, that's a residential use. Anything more than 600 kilowatts is a commercial use. So this is really regulates commercial use. This language came right from NYSERDA.
Yeah.
Word for word, it came right from NYSERDA. We've added a couple of things. We've got an 8-foot fence in here. We've got that the fire suppression system has to be non-toxic chemicals. So there's
a
couple
of toxic chemicals are burning.
So there's a couple of things that we customize. And then a Tier 2 storage facility will be a special use in industrial zones. That's number 41.
Is there any size on the residential ones, or are we just...
Whatever 600...
So we're saying Tier 2 only in industrial?
Yes. Tier 2 is only in industrial.
That disappears.
Right.
Because we are approval in highway commercial.
Which is off the table.
What's the problem with putting them in a commercial if they're next to a substation?
Let's see here. What did we do?
It's a little bit. There's other locations in town that are possible.
I think we're pigeonholing ourselves if we just do industrial.
These things are, I did a lot of research on these this morning. Not a lot.
We approve one, and I get, it's highway commercial.
Soon you're going to get into that. They're all new technology.
Right. Yeah.
They're making batteries out of graphite now.
Yeah.
So
there's lithium.
Because
they're stripping the hell out of the land to get these batteries.
You're right. It's got to be close to a substation.
Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many of those do we have?
Quite a few.
The one, then there's one.
We have one on the highway commercial for sure, which is down by by Lasher's there, Lasher's Flat, and Farm Road on the corner, because that was actually a site that was looked at.
There's one
So I would say
HC.
That's cool. HC.
Yeah. Highway commercial and industrial.
Yeah, that's it, though.
But that's all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't want these things close to any,
Right.
But if we're going to do industrial, then we're really locked into just probably where we are.
Right.
Which may or may not be a good idea. I mean, you just don't know. But the jury's out with these things.
They look 100 times better.
They're also contained in steel containers.
Yeah, so that's some storage.
Yeah.
And again,
and then 42
changes so
you're
going to
make it?
Yep. These things are going to be.
Ted, 42. Is the county in the solar
system? Is 42 our last one, Ted? 42 is our last one, right?
Yeah, 42 is right, right from Ray Ward. So if it's good for Ray Ward, it's good.
Oh, I'm just wondering why we haven't done what the county's in the pilot.
That is there. That's where that came from.
Speaking of Ray Ward, we didn't pass that resolution for the fire.
We have to have a public hearing on that, probably.
Yeah, it's a local law.
That's a local law.
Public hearing tonight.
We could.
Yeah.
On that. I sent you that later.
Yeah.
I mean, we could set a public hearing.
Yeah, sure. First Tuesday.
Because we're going to have to set a public hearing for this, too. So we'll have to, yeah. Because
we've
got to get that in the book by March 1st, and we can make those adjustments.
It's February 7th.
7th, yeah, I'll be back.
And what's the next one after that?
February 15th.
I'll be here for that one.
You want to do the
15th?
Let's do the 15th.
Do them both?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do the 15th and
do them both.
Wait, we can pass it then.
So
you're
6:15?
6 and 6:15?
You want to do 6 or you want to, can we do it break at 6? You want to do it earlier or you want to just go right at
6:15 and 6:20?
Yeah, because the fireman will be
easy. Let's do it 6:15.
6:15 for
firemen at 6:15.
So that's local law number 1 of 24.
Local law number 2 will be at
6:20. Number 2:24, and that's going to be the changes to the zone, correct?
Right, planning and zoning changes.
Changes to code.
Correct.
And the first one is the.
Oh, it's interesting.
The fireman's tax.
Fireman's.
Oh, yeah. Because,
volunteers fire.
It's really all.
Tax exemption.
Yes.
You know, or lease.
And you made the motion, Jared, right?
You sure?
Patrick seconded, right?
I have one.
Thank you.
Quick about parkland.
Yep. Let's talk about that.
So real quick, something for you to think about. We have a couple of subdivisions that have major subdivisions. We've got one on Mossy Hill Road. We have one in Leeds, and we have potentially Bogart Road, which is a big, that's a big one, 25 units. So we have the potential to make some money to dedicate for our parks. And it's town law 277. It says the town board can act and establish a fund for improvement of public parks. The Mossy Hill subdivision, if we took 10%, which you'd have to, this is something that I would give you all the language if you're interested in this. When I came back maybe on the 15th, I'd give it to you ahead of time.
Right.
But if you were, for instance, on Mossy Hill, 10% of the assessment of the vacant land, the current assessment of the vacant land is $89,000. So it's going to be subdivided into 6 or 7 lots. You'll have 6 or 7 residential units there. If you assess that 10% of the current undeveloped assessment, you'd get $8,900. So if you got $9,000 there, maybe the one in Leeds, you got another $9,000, whatever. So you're starting to build up a fund. What you have to do in order to qualify for that, if you're interested in, you have to have a plan. And I could draft a plan. I'd have to sit down with Dale and whoever else I should sit down with, or
we
want to make a little subcommittee, and we want to talk about your parks, what you have, and what you'd like to have in your parks.
Can we change that to community programs rather than just parks?
It's got to be parks.
Because developing land has to go back to land.
It's got to be so they could
for recreation.
So an outdoor basketball court at Ricky Kramer.
Well, then you got to be careful that it's got to be something that most people or everybody could use.
Correct? Right.
You can't.
Right.
Right. It,
You have to tie, you have to have a plan in place. So you've got whatever you decide, you've got Ricky Kramer, you got some land out on Five Mile Woods Road, which would be passive for people for hiking or whatever you wanted to do. And you would say, okay, this is our plan and this is what we'd like to do. So if people dedicated parkland funds, we would put it in a dedicated account, and then we would put up a basketball court, we'd brush hog, we'd put up a bluebird houses, whatever it is that you want to do, but you got to have a plan. And then the planning board has to say to you, okay, Mr. Smith, you're coming in, we're going to take $8,900, but we're going to devote it towards our parkland program. And if the town board adopts a program, then the planning board can refer to that and can request the people as a condition of the subdivision to get that money.
Right. And then what if they don't want to?
Well, they have to. Right. They have to. No. I mean, the basically.
Well, you said suggestible. That's
right.
Why.
If the,
no, absolutely.
If they have enough land to keep. Suppose they have enough green space, then they don't have.
Yeah, then they don't have.
Right. In other words, if you got this development. Like, again, one up north of here, you know, they did this by the Jericho Drive, and then what they ended up doing, as you enter the park, because there's maybe 70 homes in there, they built a little park where they got a little gazebo, and, you know, the kids, you know, in the summertime, all the kids go there with their parents, and they have a picnic.
Right.
So they set up
the pools.
And then the town maintains, what they deed is land to the town to maintain for you to eat your lunch there.
Right.
It is nice.
Right. So that would be a condition, and we already told, we told the Mossy Hill applicant and the Leeds, you know, that this is something that we're going to do. But in order for us to implement it, you guys would have to pass it by resolution. So
just by resolution.
Just by resolution. So
we should do that at our next meeting then.
Yeah.
If we're interested in doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I could have. You want to do it for the 15th? I could have it ready for the 15th.
I mean, I'm interested.
I would like to do it for the first Tuesday meeting.
All right.
If you could have the resolution to the town.
All right, I'll try to. So that's what, the 7th, you said?
7th.
All right.
And it's 10% of the vacant land?
See, that's
the vacant land.
That would be our, this is going to be our hit on this. And you do that by resolution. That's what the condition is. So we're not.
I mean, some towns have
a host fee.
Well, some towns do it by
approval.
Some towns do it
because then you're not restricted just to using it for parks if you did a host fee.
Yeah, but host fees are, you can't do that. The host fees are illegal.
No, no.
You're talking about the pilot. That's different with the
right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pilot. That's
not a pilot. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about a host fee.
A host fee in what situation?
Instead of calling it what you're calling it, it's just I'll send it to you.
Yeah. But this is a specific
for parks
recreation,
right?
It replaces green space with green space that's taken.
Right.
All right. It's a jump start for us for get a few, but we probably gonna set any amount we want on it, but I mean, I think that's, because we want to encourage development.
But
at the same time,
we don't want to make it to a contract, but this
is very good. When they're doing this, $10,000 is minimal. This is not much.
Right.
It's minimal.
And it's of great benefit to you.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's great. You have a nice, fund that you're,
that we can build on.
Yeah.
It'll help create something everyone can.
Yeah, correct. Okay, all right, that's all I have.
So what else? Have we got anything else?
Anybody
got anything? I think we covered. I think we covered all the stuff we had to, right? Anything, Patrick, that you can think of that we have? Okay. We'll think about one or two tomorrow, but that's okay. I think we covered that. So let's have a motion to
Motion to adjourn
by Jared, seconded by Paul. All